Of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. People are listening live all over the country. Got listeners all the way back east in Boston. Shout out to Lillian. How you doing back there? A lot of people are just tuning in to get some help. Today I have a special guest who's going to assist me in today's topic. Dr. Richard Malotke, medical doctor, is going to chime in and give us his expertise, which is always phenomenal. He's amazing and brilliant. So we're going to talk today about sleep. I can't tell you how many clients over 34 years of my private practice have complained about the ability to sleep, sleep disorders, being stressed and they can't sleep, telling me I'm not good at sleeping. It's a big problem all my life. People talk about insomnia and different types of wakening, and it's a huge issue. But what I've also learned, and I think Dr. Malotke has learned this too, is when people get a little bit of education about what is happening and how it works, and they change a few behaviors, they can actually begin to create productive sleep that assists them in diminishing stress and depression and anxiety, rather than making stress and anxiety and depression worse. So today we want to teach you what happens in the different stages of sleep, and what happens when you're stressed and how that interferes with your sleep. So it'd be good to get a pad of paper and a pen and take some notes, and where you find us talking about you, because I'm sure there's some of you out there, make some notes and let's see if we can get you heading in a better direction. So say hello, Dr. Malotke. And
good morning, Dr. Patty.
Yeah, Dr. Richard. We are just going to see if we can help you guys. So anything you want to chime in, you see the sleep disturbance stuff all the time, too.
Well, yeah, so it's a common complaint in the office, and I'm kind of a lumper instead of a splitter, so I sort of lump sleep disturbances into two, either trouble falling asleep or, well, three, trouble falling asleep, trouble staying asleep, or both.
And early morning awakening, that's the other one.
Yeah, well, that trouble staying asleep, the early morning awakening thing. So, and they have different physiologic issues. Usually are causing the two different patterns, and getting down, starting with that, normally we can sort of figure things out for the patient, like just like you said, like it improved their sleep hygiene. Sometimes it's our body, our brain uses a liquid chemical called serotonin, and it uses it for a lot of stuff. It's involved in depression and anxiety and fight or flight, but it's also really important in maintenance of a healthy sleep cycle.
Yes, and when serotonin is diminished,
oh my gosh,
it's all of a sudden all sorts of stuff in our brain start to happen that are not fun
productive. The classic depression patient has maybe no trouble falling asleep, but they have early morning awakening or trouble staying asleep because their brain is low on serotonin. So you almost don't have depression without early morning awakening.
Right. So one of the first things I ask clients when they start telling me that they have sleep disturbances is I want to know, can you fall asleep? And some people will say, yeah, I get in bed, I'm exhausted, I fall asleep, but zing, at a certain time, and I often hear at exactly 2 o'clock in the morning, exactly 1:15, at almost 3 o'clock every single night. They'll kind of have it in their sleep cycle where they come to full alert, their brain kicks in, and they can't go back to sleep, or they'll finally fall back asleep just before the alarm clock's going to go off, and then they're exhausted. Yeah. That's a typical thing I hear. And so then I start checking for depression and anxiety. So let's start out with helping people learn what the sleep stages are. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of what I teach people all the time, and then I'm going to get Dr. Richard Malotke to chime in and tell what he sees. Mostly you've got to understand that in the sleep stages, there's non-REM sleep and there's REM sleep. REM stands for rapid eye movement. And what they're really talking about is where you are and where your stage of alertness is in terms of where you are in sleeping. So one of the first stages you go into is a non-REM sleep cycle. And that's where we're going to change from being awake to sleeping. So it's literally falling asleep. Any of you that have ever had the experience of as you fall asleep, you feel like you trip or you fall down or you're something's happening that's making you like fall over. You are literally falling down in terms of your brain waves and your heart rate and your blood pressure. You are falling into sleep. So it's not REM sleep, or it's a non-REM sleep pattern. And this is the very beginning of going into sleep. Then what happens is you go into stage two sleep, and that's non-REM sleep as well. It's kind of a light sleep. Your heart rate and your breathing begin to slow down. Your brain waves begin to slow down. You go into those theta waves. And more of your sleep time is spent in this stage right here. Then you'll start to go down into delta waves, into deep sleep, where it's non-REM sleep as well. And deep sleep is where we get that restorative sleep. If your sleep cycles are so messed up that you can't get your body down into quality, lengthy enough deep sleep, then what happens is all this relaxing, this healing of your body, this calming of your stress, the calming of that stress reaction that you've had during the day or as you were trying to get sleep. If you can't get into this deep sleep stage, it starts a pattern of dysfunctional sleep, depression, anxiety. So once you've got some, if you're doing this, if your body's doing this right and doing it well, you'll have some deep sleep that happens, non-REM sleep, and then you'll start to kind of rise up to a more alert brainwave state into REM sleep. And that takes about, it starts in about 90 minutes after first stage sleep.
Yep.
And then you go into REM sleep, and people will think of this as when you're dreaming. Your eyes are moving underneath your closed eyelids. There's a mixed frequency of brainwaves closer to what we see when we're awake. And heart rate and blood pressure elevate more from what they were in deep sleep, where you were really, if you're in good deep sleep, your brain waves calm down, your heart rate calms down, your blood pressure reduces, and cells start to relax and heal. So then once you have done that REM sleep, then you're going to go back into the cycle again, going back to stage two.
Right.
And then back to three and four again. And if you've got some really good quality sleep, how many times a night, Dr. Malachi, would you say that people cycle through 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4?
Yeah, normally 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4. Sometimes it's 2, 3, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and there's quite a bit of variation. I think the average numbers of REM periods is 4 or 5.
Right.
In an eight hour sleep. Duration.
And that's what makes you feel restored.
Yes.
When you wake up, you feel rested. You feel like everything calmed down in your body. Everything got a chance to relax and to heal.
And a whole bunch of other things happen in stage three sleep also. Stage three non-REM, our brain collates things that we've learned during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Things are put into more permanent memory instead of recent memory.
Right.
It's the sleep studies that are being done, we're still feel sort of like the tip of the iceberg as far as knowing what we should know about something that we all spend 8 hours a day doing.
That would be nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's
this show.
Yes. Well, it's... Yeah, when I was, you know, that was a long time ago, but when I was in medical school, one of our instructors was a leading sleep researcher, and he just, you know, he would tell us all this stuff, but he would say that we were just kind of scratching the surface on what we really understand.
Yes, I believe that's so, because people really, they talk to me about their sleep problems, but they really don't understand it. Or they'll say something like, I dream and dream all night and I can't get to sleep, but they don't really understand it. That deep sleep stage and that falling asleep stage are not something that necessarily go into long-term memory.
No.
But the biggest thing I see besides depression and anxiety from people with sleep problems is that they say things like, my short-term memory sucks. I just can't function. I feel like I'm in a fog, like I'm functioning through cotton in my head.
Yeah.
And that's what can happen with sleep deprivation. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, Dr. Malachi and I are going to talk about some of the dysfunctional things that happen in sleep, some of those sleep problems. So if you have one of those, we're going to talk about maybe how you get referred to somebody to deal with those. So we're going to go to break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery, curbside pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and I'm here with Dr. Richard Malotke. We're tuning in to the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis, and we'd like to thank him for allowing us to use his incredible music on our show. You can go to randymcginnis.com and check out all six of his CDs. They are beautiful and perfect for this stressful time of COVID-19.
Oh, yes.
It's wonderful. So we want to talk about some of the problems that happen during sleep. So you have a name form. And so that if you have a severe issue with any of these are a call for you to talk to your medical doctor, who can arrange for whatever tests you need to rule these out and to treat them appropriately if there's a problem. So I wanted Dr. Richard Malotke to talk a little bit about the one we see all the time, the snoring, that kind of sleep disturbance. Talk to us a little bit about that, what you see.
Okay, so it's a snoring. I think it's kind of an age-related thing. It is. So the older we get, the more likely we are to snore. And part of it's related to those sleep cycles that we were talking about earlier. But in particular, it's usually worse when you're sleeping on your back. There's a mechanical issue where your food tube and your air tube are right next to each other. But when you're going into REM sleep, one thing we didn't mention is all of your muscles amazingly go paralyzed.
Right.
And it's probably so we don't act out our dreams. Or one of my professors said one time, we used to sleep in trees and hyenas were waiting for us down there. And if you acted out your dream, the hyenas ate you because you fell out of the tree.
Exactly.
So this paralysis business, the problem with the paralysis is, especially if you're sleeping on your back, is that the muscles around your glottis and the little muscle, the cricopharyngeus muscle that closes your epiglottis, closes your windpipe, that sometimes gets so relaxed that your windpipe is basically cut off.
Right.
And you literally can't breathe. And so you never get functional or effective REM sleep, because your body will start waking back up into stage 3 sleep or even stage 2 sleep. Occasionally, and that's, called sleep apnea. Apnea means I'm not breathing. And sleep apnea is real destructive, not over the course of days or weeks, but over the course of years. There's lots of medical issues you can get. High blood pressure, totally common. Atrial fibrillation, common. Little mini strokes, those are a great thing. Yeah, a lot of things you don't want can happen from untreated sleep apnea.
And what I talk to my clients about is one of the biggest things can happen from sleep apnea and chronic snoring, even if you don't go into full-on sleep apnea, is your oxygen levels drop. When you drop below a certain level with your oxygen to your brain, you're burning brain cells.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, most of us can't afford to lose any more brain cells.
Yeah,
we've lost enough from just living in a polluted environment.
Well, yeah, I was alive in the 60s. So, yeah, so it isn't good for you. And oftentimes the spouse will be the tell-all because she'll say, oh, my husband snores, and boy, he just holds his breath for a minute or two, and then he suddenly wakes up or half wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have those kind of issues, always mention it. Sometimes your doctor will actually prompt you, but always mention that, because that type of sleep disturbance untreated is really a problem. Treated, everything goes away. The other tell for sleep apnea is the patient will have daytime somnolence. They'll take three naps a day, or have these little, people come and say, oh, yeah, I power nap. Well, what they really have is sleep apnea and disturbed sleep.
Right, because they're exhausted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It creates chronic exhaustion.
Oh, yeah. They're totally tired, and they'll say, I'm not functioning well. And it's more common when you're overweight, but I've had some pretty skinny sleep apnea patients.
Right.
So,
well, look at what happens in our body as we age. There's sagging skin.
Sagging.
It doesn't mean that you don't sagging everything. Let's not go there. Oh,
well,
I got a visual. Okay, so what happens is your throat tissues can sag and go into covering up what you need to do to breathe.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at the other thing that happens to us emotionally. There is this thing called REM behavior disorder, and this is a problem that happens during REM sleep. So you're a little bit more awake, but the body has a mechanism of shutting down the nervous system that is voluntary. You know, your heart rate still goes, and you're breathing and all of that. But you know that feeling that you have when you're trying to run and you feel like you're in cement or you can't move, you're sludging through mud? That's your body actually telling your nervous system, don't act out your dreams so you don't fall out of the tree and the hyenas get you.
Exactly.
So people with REM behavior disorder sometimes don't have that mechanism. Their body doesn't do it very well. They don't shut down their dreaming. So in REM behavior disorder, they start to act out their dreams. Now, if you combine REM behavior disorder with snoring and sleep apnea, you're starting to go into REM sleep. You're starting to dream. Your body says, I'm not breathing, which signals adrenaline, which signals danger and fear, which makes somebody act out their dreams in a hostile, protect themselves, jump out of bed kicking and screaming behavior.
Well, yeah, breathing is non-negotiable. We like to say that.
And we have mechanisms that say, I can't breathe, and it creates a panic response. So with REM behavior disorder, there's constant sleep interruption, and there's constant danger to the person who might jump out of bed in a way that's not safe, fall out of the tree, get eaten by the hyenas. But there's also a lot of danger to people that they sleep with. And I can speak from experience about this. My husband, who passed away, I was with him for 39 years, and he had a severe case of REM behavior disorder, in which I was the brunt of many, many, many countless episodes of kicking and screaming and all of that. It was not fun. So those kind of things are things we need to know about, that snoring, that sleep apnea, REM behavior disorder. Then what happens from all that deprived sleep? The other thing I want people to understand is the difference between bad dreams and night terrors. Night terrors, like sleepwalking, that screaming and yelling, jumping up, fighting, and then falling immediately back to sleep, and then the next morning your spouse says, oh, my heavens, you had a really bad dream, you were screaming, and the spouse goes, what? I did? They don't remember anything about it. That's very different than a nightmare. A nightmare can happen in REM sleep, and you tend to remember nightmares, or you wake all the way up when you come out of a nightmare. Sleep terrors happen during deep sleep, and they are a sign of stress. Your body can't get everything calmed down. Your adrenaline and cortisol levels are still at a hyper alert state. And so when you are having night terrors, screaming, yelling, waking up in that semi-alert state, falling immediately back to sleep, that is a call that you are under too much stress. You have to treat the stress in order to stop doing the somnolence, walking around in the middle of the night, sleepwalking, or screaming and yelling and things like that. So what do you see with that, Dr. Milwaukee?
Well, sometimes, you know, the most common complaint I have is my mind won't shut off.
Right.
So their mind is racing. Particularly, I've been treating anxiety now for the last 6 or 8 weeks, and you know, people are watching the news and just going a little bit crazy. Mm-hmm. And I get that. It's a scary time. It's just a scary time. So, trying to calm your mind is a pretty big challenge. And they often come, when they bring it up, they want medication from me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do that often work with that doesn't mean medication.
Right.
And sometimes some of our sleeping medicines. I mean, I had a guy that never took pills, and he's not a drinker, and he had sold his business, and he was trying to get used to being retired, and he couldn't sleep, and his wife said, just give him some Ambien. So I gave him some. He took a pill, fell asleep right away, and his wife woke up at 2 in the morning, and he wasn't in bed. And she could hear some noises, and he was out in the kitchen making a chocolate cake. The oven was on broil.
Oh,
there was an egg on a floor. There was, the brownie powder. I think there was brownie mix, but he said he was making a cake. And he was completely sleepwalking. Right. And so sometimes the drugs actually make you do that.
Well, have you heard of ambient shopping?
Oh, yeah.
People get on Amazon and spend several hundred bucks, and then they don't even know they did it.
Yeah, and then it's like, you know, well, anyway, yeah, that's a wake-up call that mm-hmm. we're probably doing the wrong thing.
Right.
But sometimes I like to teach sounds like I've been in California too long, but I like to teach the slow breathe, deep breathe, start to your sleep cycle, just laying in bed. And you can't always do it right away, but you can almost always do it after you try it for a few nights, where you've got your eyes closed and you just try to see if you can discipline yourself to take 3 breaths a minute.
Sure.
So 10-second inhale, 10-second exhale, that's 3 breaths a minute.
What I love is when we did the show on anxiety, and you actually taught that vagus nerve breathing that calms your whole system. And when we get into how do we do this differently, that we're going to talk about some sleep hygiene things that really help you sleep better. So what we want you to understand in this segment of the show is there are some dysfunctional sleep patterns that can take on a life of their own and can actually be medical issues that you should be dealing with. There's a really cool thing that a lot of people don't know about either. They need to do a sleep study, and a lot of people think they have to go to one of those sleep centers and get all hooked up and sleep in front of people, and they don't want to. It's embarrassing, and they think, how can I ever sleep in some strange place? But now doctors can order a sleep study that you do at home for 2 or 3 nights or however many nights the doctor needs to see you.
Yeah, a fairly good screening test, which I use at my office, is it's called nocturnal oximetry. And instead of having you all wired up like you're going to get shot into space,
right.
You put this little thing on your finger and fall asleep. And what the machine does is it records your your oxygen saturation.
Right.
It records your saturation as you sleep. And normally people with sleep apnea, if they have no desaturation, if the oxygen levels don't drop down past a certain point all night long, then you don't need to do a full sleep study on them. The reason we do the full sleep, so if you kind of fail that screening test, then we do the sleep study, and the sleep study is more elaborate. You can do a home more elaborate sleep study, but sleep apnea is not black or white like most things. It comes in all shades of gray. Mm-hmm. So some people have it really mild, arguably don't need treatment. Some people have it pretty bad, and, oh, they feel so much better.
So much
better.
Yeah,
you have to talk them into wearing the appliance.
The CPAP machine.
Yeah, CPAP stands for continuous positive airway pressure, and the ones 20 years ago were awful.
Mm-hmm.
But all the technology with, like most things, has really improved in the last few years, probably the last 4 or 5. Much smaller, much easier to deal with, much easier for the patients to cope with. And once they've got 2 weeks under their belt, they'll feel so much better that they'll say, oh, I love this thing.
It's that span of being patient with getting it nailed down. And a lot of people, I don't mean to be prejudiced saying this, but especially men.
That would be correct.
That would be correct. Get really adverse to the learning curve of making it work well. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, Dr. Malachi and I are going to talk about what stress actually does to your sleep and how it affects your sleep cycles. And then in the last segment of the show, we're going to give you specific skills to change this behavior and make it better for you. So we're going to break. We'll be back in a minute.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past podcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? All have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and Dr. Richard Malachi, Dr. Richard. And we are talking about sleep, precious sleep, elusive sleep. How do you do this? So we want to talk about stress and what it does to a lot of us, most of us, during sleep. And here's the thing that I see in myself and I see in a lot of clients, and I have heard countless number of times over my 34 years of private practice. And that is that stress messes with my sleep the most. Like, I have known my whole life that if I'm stressed out, one of the first things to be compromised is my sleep. And I've also always known the thing that can stress me out the most is worrying about finances. So there have been times in my life that I'm trying to pay bills, or I'm juggling this, or when Rich was super sick and the medical bills were piling up, I knew I was freaking out and stressing out. I thought, I might as well pull an all-nighter, because if I get in bed, I'm not even going to sleep. I have to do all this bookkeeping or figure this out or whatever. So stress can be a huge trigger for messing with your sleep. And the thing I see most often is for stressed people is they have trouble getting to sleep. And they have trouble staying asleep. So they might finally fall asleep out of exhaustion, and then they'll wake up at 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning, and their brain immediately goes zing and starts thinking of all the things they're stressed about. I'm hearing this a lot in this whole COVID-19 pandemic thing with the clients that I'm doing phone sessions with. A lot of sleep deprivation, a lot of anxiety. So are you seeing that too?
Oh, yeah, lots of it. Usually it's almost you don't have one without the other.
Right.
So, and, you know, it sounds easy or sounds like some oversimplification, but no, it's pretty darn true.
Well, what I see is that this whole stress-sleep cycle issue takes on a life of its own. You end up with some sleep deprivation, which changes that whole serotonin level thing. It changes that restorative sleep for your blood pressure and your body. And
yeah, increases and, your fight or flight.
Exactly. And your adrenaline and cortisol levels.
All that.
Okay. So you end up in this hyper alert stage of fight, flight, or freeze, which is your body saying, danger. Okay? I'm in danger. So it creates a negative mood. It increases depression, it increases anxiety, and then it takes on this cycle of I've got all this stress hormone surging through my body, then I'm going to try to go to sleep tonight, or I'm so exhausted that I take a long nap in the afternoon, which then messes with you going to sleep that night. And it becomes this typical, I'm attempting to sleep, but I can't. I'm attempting to stay asleep, but my brain won't let me. And it's a horrid cycle. And people get really, really frustrated with it.
I see that all the time. The dog chases its tail.
Exactly.
And it starts going faster and faster and faster. And, well...
It gets scary.
Yeah. Sometimes we have to intervene. But chronic sleep deprivation is, you know, there's been a lot of studies done. One of the early studies done was before, in World War II, before they assaulted Normandy. They took some 18-year-old kids that just got through basic training and confined them to the barracks, but and basically gave them everything an 18-year-old kid would want. Like they could have steak and eggs every hour if they wanted it, but they wouldn't let them sleep.
Yeah.
And after about 3 days, fist fights, you know, people were breaking down. These pretty strong, in-shape kids were crying and sobbing. And
they can just actually become psychotic.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and of course, you see that in when you're in residency and when you're studying to be a doctor.
Let's deprive our doctors of sleep for hundreds of hours and then see if they can treat us.
How many of them go crazy, yeah. So,
and then let them operate on us.
Yeah, we all have a lot of personal experience of that. But sleep deprivation is not good. And it's hard to answer a specific question sometimes in the office because some people really don't need a lot of sleep. Like some people need 12 and some people need 5.
Mm-hmm.
And if that person with 5 is well rested, has a productive day, and doesn't have daytime sleepiness, they don't have to have 6.
Right. Everybody is different. But when somebody is having trouble falling asleep, getting a couple hours sleep, waking up, pacing, can't get back to sleep, might as well get up, then they start to do things like rely on alcohol to fall asleep or try to have a drink in the middle of the night to fall back asleep, or now I need to take a Xanax or I need to take a sleeping pill, and they get into a cycle of dysfunction that takes on a life of its own. That I think a interesting statistic is the National Sleep Foundation reports that 43% of people aged 13 to 64 report lying awake at night due to stress. And it's because you wake up in the middle of the night and zing, you're thinking about the finances or the fear-mongering that's happening with COVID-19 pandemic or worrying about your loved ones. Or like in my case, I miss my 3 grandkids terribly. I haven't been able to see them during this. And it makes my heart long for them, which is stressful.
Yep.
So this whole idea that you've got to recognize that stress messes with your sleep. It's that simple. And the reason you want to recognize how it messes with your sleep and what's happening to you physiologically lets you understand how you need to treat this and do it differently. So tell us, Dr. Malachi, what exactly happens with stress when you're trying to fall asleep and when it wakes you up in the middle of the night. What's happening in your body?
Well, okay, so if we want to go all the way back to brain waves, which I kind of like to do. So brain waves, there's basically 4 basic brainwave patterns that all of our brains have. You can see them with a little machine called an EEG. Right now, Dr. Patty and I are in a beta brainwave pattern, which is an active higher frequency brainwave pattern. And that's usually what we're in when we're, you know, alert and, you know, talking, thinking, doing our daily tasks. You basically almost have to transition from that beta brainwave pattern into a alpha brainwave pattern in order to fall, like you talked about before, fall asleep. And a delta brainwave pattern is slow, big amplitude waves. They look like if you remember your trigonometry, they look like a sine wave.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get your brain into that sine wave, everything's going to take care of itself. But just me saying that is not, it's a whole lot tougher thing when you have anxiety. Because anxiety won't let you transition from beta to alpha.
Yeah, let's look at the psychological thing happening with anxiety. You are at alert.
Yeah.
Which means your heart rate is up, your blood pressure is up, your body's flooding with cortisol and adrenaline.
Yeah.
You just, and your body's saying, I'm in danger.
Yeah, you just walked into your cave and there's a saber-toothed tiger waiting for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
So the physiology of that, you already mentioned adrenaline is released by your adrenal glands. The adrenal glands also release cortisol. Cortisol is a, you know, called a stress hormone. And the brain goes into survivor mode, and you can't fall asleep when you're in survivor mode.
Right.
That's the last thing your brain wants you to do is fall asleep.
Well, one of the lasting things that happens with that survival mode is it messes with your ability to store memories.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So even during waking times, your brain is disabled in terms of forming long-term memories, functioning in a sharp and meaningful way. So that's that I'm sludging through mud, my short-term memory sucks, I feel so stressed, I'm exhausted, I want to fall asleep at stoplights sort of thing.
Yes.
And it can be dangerous because you are less sharp.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a whole lot of car wrecks every year because people drive off the road when they're falling asleep because they're not getting good sleep at night. So
right. And then that cycle of, so now I'm more anxious and I'm more depressed and I'm kind of spiraling downhill, which then makes you sleep worse.
Yes.
And so we want to break that cycle. And one of the things I'm talking about is recognize how stress affects you physiologically so that you can use that as a call to consciousness. I like to use that term because instead of just being upset about it or asking your doctor to medicate you for it, if you stop and hold that in your hands and say, what am I stressing about? And how can I do this differently? Like, for example, when Rich was very, very sick and medical bills were piling up and I would stress over it, I'd have to stop and say, what are you stressed about? Well, I'm kind of afraid of where this is taking us financially and he's not working anymore and I'm trying to be the caregiver and work more hours and take care of the medical bills and do this. And I go, okay, it's something you're really stressed about, but here's what we're going to do during the daytime to deal with that. I couldn't make that stress go away.
No, and part of getting started is you have to, you know, sometimes even helps to write down what the problem is.
Yeah, you have to name it.
Yeah.
And at first, somebody to say to me, well, just don't do that. Well, yeah. I'd like you to look at $60,000 in medical bills staring at you and say, oh, just don't stress over that. So it's important to recognize what it is that you're stressing about, name it, write it down, and what are your fears?
You know, one of my little tricks that I've used for many years is I try to get patients to write down, when I tell them this, they look at me quizzically, but I just say, look, write down the 10 most stressful things in your life and stick it on your refrigerator with a magnet. Mm-hmm. And some of them will say, well, boy, I don't think there's 10 things. And I say, yes, there is. So, but if you write them down and look at it every day when you open the refrigerator, then a week later when number 3 is walking down the hall at work, you can consciously put that into your, well, put it into your conscious mind instead of your subconscious mind and make yourself, kind of deal with it.
Right.
And, and most of the time they don't get 10, but until about a week later, but by a week they have 10.
Yeah. Well, if we recognize the things that stress us out, sometimes the very act of saying, this is stressful for me, worrying about my ill spouse, worrying about finances, worrying I might lose a loved one. And we look at the normal fears of people. They fear being rejected. They fear loss. They feel abandonment. They worry about finances. So when you are conscious about your stresses, it's much more manageable than when they kind of are hovering around in that unconscious zone just flicking you.
Yeah, our natural inclination is to protect ourselves from things that make us uncomfortable by putting those uncomfortable things in the attic.
Right.
And then we don't have to look at them.
I always think they're in the basement where the dark and scary things are.
Well, yeah, I was scared of my attic. But yeah, either place. You know, you better to spend more time in your living room and, you know, dining room.
Yeah.
You don't want to go in the basement. You're actually absolutely right. Visually recognizing it, writing it down, can, as simple as it sounds, can be something that really helps you.
I think it's a really good coping skill. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're actually going to give you the behaviors we want you to do to help you break your dysfunctional sleep patterns. So get your pen, get your paper. You're going to write these down. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
With the new year, it's a great time to lose 10 pounds, paint the house, and finally clean out the garage.
Honey, why don't you start by getting the car serviced at Premier Oil Change? They're super fast and convenient. You get to wait in the car with free Wi-Fi and a free beverage. Plus, they have a rewards program where we can earn points that we can put towards free oil changes and services. You don't even have to make an appointment.
Wow, honey, that sounds a lot better than cleaning out the garage.
At Premier Oil Change, we strive for convenience. Our comprehensive 30-point certified service will ensure you with a peace of mind that your vehicle's in top operating condition. Add to that, free fluid top-ups. Now that is service, and we're quick. Easy in, easy out. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Visit us on Facebook or Instagram. Premier Oil is located in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palo Cedro or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you get a free car wash. Visit us today. Home with a friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty and Dr. Richard Malachi, and we are talking about sleep, precious sleep. So we want to talk a little bit, this last section, about sleep hygiene. It's a really important concept that people tend to kind of know but don't want to do. That's what I see in my office.
That's right.
Like they kind of know that if they drink too much to get to sleep, it really messes with them staying asleep in the middle of the night. Like I might say, what do you do? And they say, well, if I have a couple glasses of wine. And usually when someone tells me a couple, they're cutting it by half. They mean four.
Yeah, it's always a half.
It's always a half. Yeah, all of us that deal with people and their stuff, they always report half of what's real. So they're having 2 to 4 glasses of wine to fall asleep or whatever drink they're having because it helps them go to sleep. But it messes with your brain to stay asleep. And they kind of know this, but yeah, they want to do it anyway.
You wake up when you sober up.
Yeah. And then it is hard to get back to sleep. So there are some things that we want you to do to make your sleep hygiene good. So what we're going to do is talk to you about the things that are really good to do. And what this is a call to consciousness. If you don't do these things, or you do the opposite of these things, hello, wake up. Oh, did I say wake up? Wake up and go to sleep. If you're doing these things, you need to own it, and you need to try and change it. So one of the things we want you to understand physiologically is in order to begin to fall asleep, go from that stage one, I'm getting in bed, and I want to allow my body to relax and go into that stage two, different brain wave than being awake, is you have to let your body calm down. So, Dr. Malachi, what's one of the main things you like people to do with good sleep hygiene? We're saying watch your alcohol intake, but
right,
give us another one.
Well, if I'm giving the whole speech,
okay, I call these his okay speech. Dr. Malachi
okay,
goes,
here you go.
Okay. So this is what it's about.
Yeah, because my job is kind of a bunch of little canned speeches. But so one thing that helps most of us is to try to pick a roughly the same time every night.
Mm-hmm.
So that can help you. It also can help you to have a physically active day. Usually, I mean, a lot of us can live pretty sedentary lifestyle. And being physically tired makes it easier to go from a beta rhythm to an alpha rhythm, which is how we start sleep. So
it speaks to that walk you take in the afternoon,
oh, yeah,
or that treadmill time is going to help you sleep better later that
night.
Yeah,
you don't want to get on a treadmill and go in and fall asleep.
No,
but getting your heart rate up and getting better blood flow to all of your organs at some time during the day makes them happy.
Right.
And being, let's face it, if I have a hard, which I don't hardly ever anymore, but if I have a hard physical day, boom, I just fall dead asleep. You know, that saying, fall dead asleep, it's because you're tired.
Right. Well, and there's a certain amount of things that happen to your body when you get exercise that is helping clear your body of that adrenaline and cortisol, making your muscles work and create different enzymes and different things.
Yeah, and muscle healing happens at night.
Right.
And when you're physically active, you're wounding your muscles just a little bit every time
you
work out.
So then it lets them heal.
Exactly.
And it signals healing.
Yeah.
So the thing Dr. Malak is talking about here some is your circadian rhythm.
Right.
So that, if that is similar every single day of the week, you will do better. So if you're a person who does not sleep well, you should not be going to bed at 10 on the night you have to get up and go to work the next day, and then staying up till 1 or 2 on Friday and Saturday night, and then messing with your sleep, and then drinking a little too much when you're trying to stay up Friday and Saturday, and then thinking you're going to go to bed Sunday and do it differently and wake up Monday morning and go to work.
Yeah, and some of my, the model for that that's fairly common is, like, I have a lot of police officer patients, and if they have the night shift, it's really hard on them.
Yes.
You know.
Well, one of the reasons that a lot of the first responders I've seen, any place that's open 24/7,
right,
hospital, EMTs, police officers, firefighters, they mess with their circadian rhythms. And especially like police officers, they'll do a day shift for 3 months, and then they'll change them to graves, and they'll work graveyard for 3 months, and then they'll go to nights, and then they'll go back to day, and their bodies can't adjust. Some people adjust their circadian rhythms much
more easily
and effectively, and some people, it totally messes with their mood, their depression, their anxiety, and their ability to reestablish a rhythm for sleep.
Yeah, out of 100 medical students in my group, 2 of them dropped out because physically they just couldn't do it.
Right.
You know, so,
right,
and it's, I understand that.
Okay, so watching this rhythm for yourself and trying to get into a regular and consistent sleep pattern of when you go to bed and when you wake up. One of the things I like to teach people, too, is to understand why taking a hot shower or taking a hot bath or going in the hot tub, getting nice and warm and toasty, why that is helpful. When we start to fall asleep, our body temperature literally starts to cool, which is a signal to the brain to start to relax, to lower our blood pressure and our heart rate, and change us into a different brainwave pattern that says, it's time to rest. It's time to go to sleep. So when you take a hot shower or a hot bath, when you get out and your body starts to cool down, your body says, it's time to go to sleep, which is also why if you sleep in a cooler environment in your bedroom, it is a signal to your body to snuggle down in, get warm and toasty, and allow yourself to begin to relax. So warm to cool signals your body.
Yes.
All right. So that's another sleep hygiene thing. This is the thing. The next thing is what I see a lot in people, and that is they don't understand how blue screen time hypes your brain up. When we stare at our phones, our computers, sometimes our TV screens, that blue screen signals our brain that it's light out. That is a signal for us to be awake. And many people are highly sensitive to that. So if you decrease your exercise, if you warm your body up, if you don't eat too soon before you're trying to go to sleep, if you limit your alcohol intake for the last 4 hours before you go to bed, you're signaling your body to begin to relax, to begin to calm down. So if you get in bed and you're trying to do all the things right, and then you pick up your phone, you read your email, and you get a text from your mother-in-law, and you look at that Facebook post you did earlier where you just really pissed everybody off because you said something politically controversial, and all of a sudden...
Alpha waves, yeah, bye-bye.
Yeah, alpha waves. Yeah, I'm not happening now because I am totally hyped up.
Right.
So you have to remember that that stimulates your brain into that fight or flight and stressful feeling. And for many, that is not conducive to falling asleep. And that's kind of more recent in history. I mean, there's people I've seen with 20 years history of sleep deprivation, and now you add blue screen time to it, and they're like gone in terms of I can't sleep.
Right.
So I want you to recognize that the technical stuff that we allow ourselves to endure can create a fear, anger, stress response. It's not... So give us something else, Dr. Martin.
Well, sometimes, you know, well, mostly it's older people like me, but people will even say, well, hey, what's with this warm milk, glass of warm milk before I go to bed? Well, that's not just an old wives' tale. Milk is full of tryptophan.
Mm-hmm.
Tryptophan is a molecule that is a precursor for the serotonin molecule.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't really get serotonin into your brain, so it doesn't help. People just say, well, why don't you give me a serotonin pill? We don't do that, but tryptophan takes one enzyme step away, and it's turned into serotonin. And tryptophan, it's a more complex than it should be, but tryptophan crosses the blood-brain barrier.
Right. It's the reason everybody's sleepy after Thanksgiving dinner.
Exactly.
Turkey
has lots of it. Milk has lots of it.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those things are completely safe. I mean, so people, you know, people will ask about that. They'll ask about, hey, what about the Benadryl or, you know, Tylenol PM? It's okay to do that. I mean, Benadryl is about 90% of people get sleepy from it. About 5% of people get cranked up from it,
yes,
which is
I've
called a
that.
Paradoxic reaction. And about 5% of people, it's neutral. But
and there's also a tolerance buildup.
There is. The more you take it, the less it works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true for all the prescription sleep medicines, too.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have the most common use for me to give prescription sleep medicine, like, for instance, Ambien or the old Restoril, there's a bunch of old ones. It's usually for a grief reaction. Someone just can't sleep. You know, their family member just died.
Well, and that's an important point. When I see someone in an acute stress reaction from loss or grief or trauma, my recommendation is I don't want them to go more than two nights without good quality sleep.
Yeah.
And so if you are really stressing, staying awake, can't sleep, can't eat, all that sort of stuff, I want you to talk to your doctor. I want you to find what's a healthy way. You know, maybe melatonin, maybe valerian root, maybe medication if that's necessary.
Yeah.
But to keep yourself from going into a chronic and extensive dysfunctional sleep pattern, which is going to make all that grief and everything worse.
Yeah,
so my basic rule of don't go more than two nights without good quality sleep. And if you can't get good quality sleep that third, fourth, fifth night, you've got to talk to your medical doctor.
Yeah, and it's pretty safe, too, as long as you don't sleepwalk or get up in the middle to make night and make brownies,
yeah,
with an oven on broil. If you take Ambien three nights a week, you won't get addicted to it. Your brain won't get habituated to it, or
right,
the pharmacies call it tachyphylaxis. The longer you take the pill, the less the pill works.
Right.
So,
well, and what I like people to do is I see people get lazy. They don't want to change their alcohol intake. They want to have that cup of coffee at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They want to have chocolate milk, not regular hot milk,
right,
that has caffeine in it before they go to sleep. And they are lazy. They don't want to change their sleep hygiene habits. They want Dr. Malachi to give them a pill to make them go to sleep so they don't have to deal with that.
Because they're Americans.
Yeah, they're lazy. Give me a pill so I don't have to change my behavior. So my challenge to all of you out there listening to this is try to look at your sleep hygiene first and see what you're doing that is not supporting your sleep and what you can do differently to create good sleep hygiene. And then if there's a medical condition like sleep apnea or snoring or stress response, or you're depressed or you're really struggling with severe anxiety or you're having a complicated grief reaction about something or trauma reaction, those are all reasons to talk to your medical doctor. And if you've got someone really good like Dr. Malachi who sits there and really listens to what's going on with you and doesn't just throw a prescription at you, you can learn to change your behavior. And here's the reason I want people to do that. We have to acknowledge that we've got to protect our brains. Our neurotransmitters, our brain functioning, our memories are being bombarded by medications, by pollution, by stress. And we don't want to particularly put sleep medications or benzodiazepines like tranquilizers like Xanax or even Benadryl unless we have to. They are there, and the good news is they're there if we need them. But let's not rely on them. Let's do things that support our right. brain health, not diminish our brain health.
Yes, and I want to put one more little vote in for that. Practice that 3 breaths a minute.
Yes, that vagus eyes nerve
closed,
breathing.
Eyes closed, 3 breaths a minute for 5 minutes. And I think if you do that, you won't do it right away, but if you do that for a month, you'll find that it's working.
It's huge. So we want to refer you to the podcast on Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell. Go to the podcast on anxiety, the one on stress, and the one on anticipatory anxiety. We want to thank you, Dr. Richard Milaki, for helping today. We want to thank you all for tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell, where we are just trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.